I thank the elders for this opportunity to speak before you tonight. I want to speak tonight about coping with discouragement. I have some problems that bother me, but there's nothing really too serious. But sometimes I talk to myself and say, well, there's a lot of people that have a lot of problems. They're much worse than mine. And that may be true, but it doesn't really help me with my problems. My problems don't go away. And I should be grateful that my problems are only minor, but I still let them get me discouraged every once in a while. If you listen to the news, you'll hear that more companies are laying people off, and I should be happy then that I have a job, but that's my problem. I'm not really happy to have a job because I'm not that happy with the job that I have. I don't seem to enjoy it anymore. I don't like the way things are being run, and I don't like the way people are being treated. But because there's so many people being laid off, this is not a good time to be going and looking for another job. And so I feel trapped there, and being trapped there, that brings me some more discouragement. If I stop and look at it, I really would be worse off if I didn't have a job. So even a bad job has some good things about it. I need to stop looking at the negatives, start looking at the positives. And so tonight I want to look at what we can do to cope with our problems and the discouragement that comes with them. First of all, we have to realize that bad things are going to happen. No one has gone through a whole lifetime and not had anything bad happen to them. We have to be ready to deal with these problems. If you would, turn to Job chapter 14 and verse 1. And there we can read where Job said, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." There's two things I want to look at in this statement. First is that we're full of trouble, so we have to be ready to accept that. Bad things are going to happen, and we're going to have to deal with them. But the second one, and hopefully this will comfort us, is that we're a few days. It doesn't matter how bad our troubles are, we're not going to have them for very long, because our whole life is not going to be very long. In James 4 and verse 14, there James told us, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanishes away." The things that happen to us in this life aren't important by themselves. Things that happen to us in this life are to prepare us for eternity. We need to remember that this life is just a stepping stone to get us to eternity. So even if something really terrible happens to us in this life, it doesn't matter, because it's nothing compared to what heaven is going to be like. We sing a song that says, "How beautiful heaven must be." That's what we need to remember. We need to stop worrying about what happens to us here on this earth and look forward to that great reward. I want to stress again that bad things are going to happen to us. And it doesn't matter what kind of a life you live. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, Paul said, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So living a godly life will not prevent bad things from happening to us. A good example of this is Job. In Job chapter 1 and verse 8, God describes Job as a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Yet God allowed Satan to take away all of his many possessions and to kill his 7 sons and his 3 daughters. But Job kept his faith in God, as we can see in chapter 1 and verse 21, where Job's answer was, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." After that, God allowed Satan to inflict Job with boils all over his body. And in Job chapter 2 and verse 10, Job's answer was, "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" Is this the way we would answer? Is this what our reaction would be? Of course, Job did get discouraged. We look in chapter 3, in verse 3, he said, "Let the day perish on which I was to be born." He prayed to God to go back, turn back time, and change history so that he would never have been born. But through all this, Job still trusted God. He didn't blame God. But some people want to blame God for the bad things that happened to them. They say, "What have I done wrong that I should deserve this?" They say, "Why is this happening to me?" And that's what Job's friends said about him. In chapter 2 and verse 5, one of his friends said, "Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? They thought that all of Job's problems were the result of some wicked thing that he had done. But bad things don't happen to us because we're bad. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, Jesus himself told us that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Good things are going to happen to good people and bad people alike, but also bad things are going to happen to good people and bad people as well. So we need to be like Job and keep trusting in God no matter what happens. Sometimes people get discouraged when they feel that they're being treated unfairly. This is what happened to the workers that Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 1, and I'd like to read that account. If you turn with me to Matthew 20, starting at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you too go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you too go into the vineyard. And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more. And they also received each one a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way, but I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do with what I wish with what is mine own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first, and the first last. These men were not treated unfairly. They only perceived that they had been treated unfairly. The landowner had paid them exactly what they had agreed upon. But they were jealous and unhappy because the other man had received the same reward for much less work. We can't be like these men. We need to work out our own salvation and not be jealous of anyone else who has things easier than we have. We can't let discouragement stand in the way of remaining faithful to God. In Revelation 2, and verse 10, it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We need to keep our mind focused on doing what it takes to enter into heaven and not worry about whether our life is any harder than anyone else's. I'd like to use a parable to make this point easier to understand. There was a certain rich man who was a good man and a generous man. The rich man decided that he wanted to share his great wealth with as many people as he could. So he picked one day, and to every person he met that day, he made them an offer. If you would meet me at my office the following day, I'd give you $1 million. There was only one catch to this. This businessman was very busy, and he didn't know when during the day he would ever get to his office. So the people would have to be there waiting for him. But to everyone who was there waiting for him, he would give $1 million. The rich man made his offer to the first man he met, but this man thought it was just some kind of a joke, and he went away and didn't listen to what the rich man said. Then the rich man spoke to a second man, and the second man believed him. But the following day was going to be a baseball game on TV, and he really wanted to see that game. So he convinced himself that the rich man probably wouldn't get to his office before 4 o'clock, so he could watch his ball game first and then go to the rich man's office. But the rich man also spoke to many others that believed him. So many, in fact, that his office was full, and many people who came had to stand outside. And that day it was very cold, bitter cold, in fact. And the people who were standing outside looked at the people inside who were warm and comfortable, and they said, "This isn't fair. Why should we have to stand out here and freeze while those others are inside and warm?" And many of them became so discouraged that they went away. Now, the rich man in this story is God, and that treasure that he's offering is a home in heaven, a treasure that's worth much, much more than $1 million. And like the rich man, God has told us what we must do in order to get this treasure. And just as in the story, we do not know the hour when Jesus will come to judge us. And the first man represents a group of people who do not believe in the gospel. There are some people who do not believe in God at all, but there are also many who believe false doctrines and won't believe the simple truth. The second man represents that type of person who hears the gospel and believes it, but he has sin in his life that he doesn't want to give up. And so he puts it off and puts it off and never obeys the gospel. But the group I want to talk about is those who have come to the Lord and then become discouraged and fall away. We see other Christians who have it good and they don't understand why we have so many problems. Think about the rich man who would give you $1 million. Would you stand out in the cold to get it? How long would you stand there in the cold if he was going to give you $1 million? How cold would it have to get before you would go away empty-handed? And yet $1 million is nothing compared to heaven. So why do people walk away from God? Why do they turn their back on God? They place too much importance on the things in this life, and they don't place importance on our life to come. In Colossians 3 and verse 2, Paul told us to set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That's exactly what we need to do. In Philippians 4 and verse 11, Paul said, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Look at all the things that have happened to Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 24, Paul tells us some of the things that had happened to him. I'd like to read that. It says here, "Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure." If Paul could be content after all the things that had happened to him, how can we let ourselves be discouraged? We need to be like Paul. We need to learn to be content no matter what happens to us. We also need to remember that God is with us. In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, God spoke to Isaiah and said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And in Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul wrote, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." God will help us get through our problems if we will lean on him. And remember, this life is just a stepping stone to prepare us for heaven. This life is so very short when you compare it to eternity. If bad things happen, they won't last. If you get discouraged, just think about how beautiful heaven will be. In Hebrews 11 and verse 16, heaven is called a better country. In Hebrews 4 and verse 9, it is called a rest. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, it's called paradise. Don't you want to be there? Don't be discouraged by things in this life. As the Lord said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Trust in God, and you can overcome anything, and heaven will be your reward. Thank you. Now I'd like to turn it over to Brother Hastings.